Hello everybody and welcome to a new episode of NBA Peculiarities, the last episode of the year 2021. When I'm recording this, they already had New Year in New Zealand, and since it's 2 hours past 12, I assume the two time zones as well passed more to the east of New Zealand. I don't know, that there are three time zones in Australia, so like the most west and the middle one in Australia, and some islands of Indonesia, I assume. So happy New Year to them and to all of you, because well, we all deserve a happy New Year, I think. It's been a while since I've uploaded an episode, but I was very busy with school. I had my exams before the holidays. All went well, but I was just busy studying. I didn't upload after Christmas because, you know, the holidays, also busy with that. So I'm back. I want to thank everybody for the amazing year that I had. The first episode I uploaded was the 5th of April, I think. It was in my Easter holidays. So the 5th of April, and you know, we've been expanding slowly. I have to, you know, it's been a bit of a grind. The audience is growing slowly, but we're growing and I'm actually happy. I see this as a hobby of mine. I'm just happy to have another hobby. And I want to thank you all so much for listening. Even if you, like, if you're a loyal listener who listens every time, or just sporadically listens to an episode, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just glad that you listened. I hope that you enjoy, and we're gonna keep the grind going for 2022. Now for the NBA, a lot has happened since my last episode, the 22nd of November, but you know, a couple of things. A lot of the lead is now tradable, which is good to see, but nothing has happened. But, you know, there are a couple of moves that might happen. Ben Simmons is still officially a part of the 76ers, but what's going to happen with him, what type of trade is going to happen? The Pacers are rebuilding. They haven't traded anybody yet, but Caris LeVert, and then Sabonis or Miles Turner and some other players. So those are going to be massive trades too. I'm not going in depth which I think would be a good trade. I'm actually not good at that type of stuff. I probably say stupid things, I'll be honest. That's just not my expertise, thinking about good trades and stuff. Or for which team or what, like, that's just not my thing, so I won't. But you know, players will probably be on the move. But I'm a bit disappointed that nothing has happened so far, but it probably that there will be some trades. I read also that Goran Dragic, for example, is not in the plans of the Toronto Raptors moving forward. So I actually didn't read the article, so I don't even know his contract situation. Perhaps his contract ends this year and they're just gonna let him walk in free agency, or they're gonna trade him. So there are a couple of other players as well that are not in plans of teams that we already know of. So trades will be happening, and I'm very curious what will happen in particular. Some other things, well, OKC, my god, yeah, had the biggest loss in NBA history. It wasn't the biggest win for the Memphis Grizzlies, let's be honest. It was the biggest loss for the OKC. If you haven't watched the game yet, please don't. It hurts your eyes. I normally do not really care about a game. Like, sometimes they don't play, a team doesn't play that good or anything, but I'll keep on watching just because I like basketball. But this was a real struggle to watch. And yeah, just don't. It was, I mean, I understand they didn't have Shea, but I mean, the OKC, they had a few players who were actually trying and the rest just wasn't. And then, well, Memphis, they also didn't have Ja Morant, but hey. Jaren Jackson Jr. played very good, and actually also like players I didn't hear of were amazing. I never heard of before, were amazing. So circumstances, you know, also COVID protocols. Jesus, I can't articulate today, but all right. Will or have affected the situation, of course. So yeah, I won't say any more about it. It happened. It was a disgrace for the NBA as a league, but actually the OKC won the next time they played against the Grizzlies, didn't they? Yeah, they did. So hey. But they needed Shea to do it. But still, they did it. So props for them for doing that. Some other things. Yeah, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a high audience gathering, or just a lot of people come to the arena, or relatively a lot of people come to the arena, especially for a team like the Cavs, and I'm happy for Cleveland that they're doing well. And yeah, man, they're just being better than expected. But actually, if you look at their team, it's quite logical, but it's they didn't really expect it. If you look at the roster on paper, they are good. They are good enough for at least a play-in spot. But that was what I expected, a play-in spot. But now they're like fifth. Wait. I'll have a look. But I thought that they were fifth right now. So it's the 31st of December right now. For me, it's a 2:15 p.m. Just, you know, to keep things accurate. And right now, they are fifth. See, they're fifth. Just surprising everybody. Then another team that I thought might be a bit of a surprise, the Atlanta Hawks. 15-19, sitting at the 12th seed. That isn't really the Atlanta Hawks I remember from last year in the playoffs. Not even close. But, you know, they lost Trae Young for some games due to COVID protocols. But, yeah, even before that, they had a losing record, or at least a 500 record. But I don't think they had a winning record. So, but at the other hand, they weren't good either last season until they changed their coach, right? Then they became good. So perhaps they'll go on a streak again in the middle of the season. I don't know. But yeah, I honestly, more than a play-in isn't available for the Hawks right now. It just isn't. But hey, honestly, Philadelphia has kind of surprised me too, the 76ers, that they're the 6th seed without Ben Simmons, because they're relying heavily on Joel Embiid, and he's just doing his thing, and Tyrese Maxey is balling, and that whole team is actually playing very well as a team. I don't miss Ben Simmons when I'm looking at that, not even close. Cleveland, we had the Miami Heat. I'm a Heat fan, so this is not an objective opinion. But yeah, they're doing amazing. They don't have Bam right now, and they didn't have Jimmy Butler, and they don't have Dwayne Dedmon. And yet, I mean, they took some L's, but they also won. So that actually surprised me as a Heat fan, that they were doing so good. And I'm glad that we acquired Kyle Lowry in the offseason. It really was a massive move. Tyler Hero is balling off the bench, you know. It's just exactly what we need. And Omer, Jurtsen is his last name, I think. Our new center, I guess. He is also doing pretty well. Duncan Robinson doesn't have his best season yet. Not even close, but, you know, every once in a while he can score over 20 points, and that's fine, but yeah, he is, you know, just everyone has the last season. Every once in a while, it's just normal, so, but it's still better than, I mean, if I'd, a lot of people would still be proud with those averages. Just the fact that you're in the NBA is something to be proud of. If you think about it, right, you have 30 teams with 15 roster spots, which is like 450, right? So wait a minute, 30 times 14, 15 is 450. Of course, not all of those players get PT, not even close. And then you have all those players sitting in free agency, getting every once in a while a 10-day contract or a 2-way contract, you know. Especially now with the COVID protocol, it's turning into the G League, honestly. But hey, it is what it is, and I mean, it are 10-day contracts, and if a guy with COVID comes back after 10 days, you don't need him. So actually, a 10-day contract is perfect right now. But my point is, there are 450 players in the NBA, active players. Well, just to be a pro basketballer on its own is a very small chance. And then, like, let's say 1% of all the pro basketballers in the world play in the NBA. That's ridiculous. The NBA really is, well, the best of the best. Which, is, I mean, it's known for it, but it's just, if you think about it, it always blows my mind. You had, just to be a pro basketballer already is a small miracle, or any pro athlete, honestly. So, to then even rise to the NBA, even, it's more difficult when you're from Europe, because in America, you know, you go to high school, college, NBA, if you're good enough. It's a bit of an easier path. You have to really ball out in Europe to be noticed by NBA scouts. So, you know, of course you have to ball out in college too to be drafted. I get that. But I think it's a bit harder in Europe. That's my opinion. But I just wanted to state it. I just wanted to put it out that it's such a miracle if you become an NBA player. It's ridiculous. But anyway, just something that every NBA player can be really proud of, because, well, they're like the, just, all right, I'm gonna let this go. Just wanted to say it. Another team I want to talk about is the Dallas Mavericks, because they're not that good, or at least not as good as they're supposed to be. Honestly, I mean, they are the eighth seed, but the whole Western Conference is kind of disappointing me right now. So, hey, let's let that slide. So, I mean, the East is literally better than the West. All right. Well, Golden State, Phoenix, Utah, good teams. Memphis, if you destroy a team, you are at least a good team. They're 22-14. They're good. They're going to make the playoffs, I think, I assume. Unless you get injuries. Denver, LA, they're doing their thing. They're just, you know, they are the 5th and the 6th seed, but they're only one game above 500. And, yeah. It's, that's just the West is disappointing me. But, then you have LA, the LA Lakers. We're gonna get to that later. The Dallas Mavericks. Now, Luka Doncic right now is in quarantine, or at least, something with the protocols I read. I don't know if he's in quarantine or whatsoever, but something with the virus. So, but even with him, they were struggling. Of course, this isn't Luka's best season. We can all say that honestly. He's still putting up great numbers. This isn't his best season. We can all say that. But yeah, that whole team is just disappointing, because if you look at it on paper, right, you have Moses, Brunson, Bullock, Cauley Stein, of course, Luka, Dorian Finney-Smith, Tim Hardaway Jr., Maxi Kleber. Of course, those all aren't the best players, but they're good, right? I mean, it's just, and they also signed Isaiah Thomas, by the way. Please just give that man like a whole season contract, please. He deserves it. But all right, again, getting off track. Also, Porzingis is on that team. I also forgot about that. But look, on paper, they're good. Or like at least good enough for a playoff spot, right? I mean, they are the 8th seed. They are on the 500. They are on the 500. And on paper, they are good enough to be above 500. Why are they struggling? Well, is it team chemistry? Is it something else? I don't know, but it just isn't like, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's a real team playing there, but just five individuals on the court trying to score. That's how it feels for me sometimes. Whatever the reason for that may be. That's all I have to say. Just something has to change. But perhaps they're just happy if they make the play-in, I guess. LA Lakers. All the memes I saw about LeBron being a GM and he's gonna trade the whole team. Or that picture where like Russell Westbrook was loading up for free, and LeBron was like just right around the paint and not even guarding up, and then it said the Lakers guarded Westbrook like this in the bubble, but they expected him to be their missing piece. If you take a look at one picture, of course that's funny, but you have, and he also has broken the record for most consecutive turnovers, or like most consecutive games with turnovers, right? So if you look at those stats, yeah, he ain't balling. If you look at other stats, he is balling. Of course, he gets a lot of turnovers, but Russell Westbrook has been doing that his whole career. If you trade for Westbrook, you know you're gonna get turnovers. If you're gonna start complaining about turnovers, then you didn't think before trading for Russell Westbrook. Just facts. But his field goal percentage, at least a couple of days ago, a week ago, something like that, I saw a bracket, which said that it was actually one of his best field goal percentages of his whole career. We see a lot of stupid shots from him on Shaqt and a Fool and stuff, but those are just a few moments. You have to look at the whole, you just have to look at it all and look at the percentages. And then, of course, it's one of his best field goal percentages, but could he do better? Yes, always. But I don't think Russell Westbrook is a problem for the Lakers. The other problem is, well, AD is injured yet again, but you know, it can happen. Just but when AD was playing, he was like, and LeBron was out, and I think Russell Westbrook wasn't playing either. And then it was like they just gave the ball to AD and was like, score. That's it. Of course, he's a good isolation player. He's like, if LeBron's out, their best isolation player. But that's not gonna work. Also, that team is just old. And honestly, I expected them to be better than this, but not much better, but just because they were so old. But hey, something is gonna happen in LA. I know for sure. What it is, I don't know. But we'll see. You know, but you know, if you're gonna talk about the shot IQ of Russell Westbrook, of course, sometimes he makes mistakes, but the whole Lakers team is making mistakes from time to time. Then I looked at their names and I'm like, that's just a stupid shot. And then they zoom in on LeBron on the bench and he's like just holding his face in his hands and shaking his head, you know. So something's gonna happen. Either they do it in the training center, where they work on more chemistry or on shot IQ, or they're trading people or whatsoever. But something's gonna happen in LA. I can feel it. It might not be now, but something's gonna happen. Yeah, this is. Honestly, of course, Stephen Curry broke the three-point record by Ray Allen. Congratulations. If he keeps on playing like this for like, just, he will be playing for a couple more years, hopefully like 5, 6, 7, right? If he keeps on doing this, he's gonna have so many more threes, and that just shows so much dominance by one player. It's ridiculous. You might not really like Steph Curry's playing style, or you might think there are better point guards, but you can't deny the fact that Stephen Curry is a generational talent who changed the whole game of basketball, and it's just the best three-point shooter we ever had, because those are just stats, that since Stephen Curry has been starting balling out, people have been shooting more three-pointers. The offensive teams is more centered around the perimeter. It just, is it necessarily because of Stephen Curry? No, but he is the anchor point. He is the basis of everything. Of the three-point evolution, of course, not of everything. But yeah, he also scored his 3,000th three-pointer. So just congratulations to Stephen Curry. Well, quite some more things have happened, but I'm going to end the episode here. It's 22 minutes, something like this, right? Yeah. So that seems more than enough. And I've been getting off track and off my point a lot. I know that. I'm sorry. But I still hope that you'll enjoy this episode, or that you have enjoyed this episode. And again, a happy new year, and I see you next year. Thank you. Bye-bye.